Welcome to the Brown Thomas Podcast. Today's podcast is a very special podcast to celebrate Create 2021. Every year, through Create, Brown Thomas champions a host of innovative, imaginative, and emerging Irish design talent. Now in its 11th year, Create 2021 is better than ever, showcasing the extraordinary work of 33 talented designers across ready-to-wear, shoes, millinery, jewellery, homeware, and this year, art and sculpture. The theme this year is Push for Progress, and in our podcast today, I talk to some of the featured designers, as well as Brown Thomas Fashion Director Shelley Corkery, to get an idea of what Create Push for Progress has in store for us. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brown Thomas Podcast. First up, I speak with Fashion Buying Director of Brown Thomas, Shelley Corkery. 11 years ago, Shelley launched Create to foster and support Irish design, celebrating a diverse range of new designers in the collection year after year. And this year, with 21 new designers, Shelley tells me a little bit more about the selection process, the push for progress, and the focus on sustainability. Shelley, 11 years of Create, and this year we have 33 designers. So when you kicked off in 2010, did you ever expect to reach these levels of growth?
Yeah, Louise, the whole project was designed around exploration and to, you know, go out there and see what's available in terms of Irish designers, in terms of who has got collections being developed, who's new up and coming, who has no platform for retail, and just what innovation and sort of new ideas were out there. So the whole interview process is done around inviting people in to interview. We put aside a few days in March, and we absolutely invite everybody that is interested to come in and present to us their collection. And that's a real process of elimination. At the end of the day, you're showcasing your collection in a luxury department store sitting beside international brands. So it's really, really important that the finish is perfect, the idea is a good fit for Brown Thomas, and the whole concept that the designer is working towards is suitable for our customer in mind. So I suppose the interview process is very, very important. And at that moment as well, we discuss with the designers, you know, their thought process, if they're interested in developing their business as a business or is it an exhibition. So I think it's very important for me that they're very involved themselves from the beginning, and it is to develop their business skills. It's a huge opportunity, I think, for these designers, a huge opportunity to showcase in a platform that's very relevant, that's already got an existing customer profile. You learn everything you know about retail from listening to the customers at the end of the day.
And the theme this year, Shelley, is Push for Progress. So tell me a little bit about what that means and how you decided on that.
Coming up to November and December, I always start thinking of Create and, you know, aligning our days to put aside for interview process and how we invite people in. So I think brainstorming with all the fashion buying teams, and actually this project particularly, sort of diverse across lots of divisions of the business, including marketing, creative, and online. So we involve everybody in the process. And I think after the 10-year celebration, which was amazing, we were moving into year 11. And I think year 11, I felt, had to be different. And we had to do something new and something innovative, with sustainability obviously at the core of everything we do and every thought we have in this business. We really felt that Create had to be taglined with pushing for progression. It was really moving the project on and moving it on in a direction that really, really opened up to the world we live in and protected the planet and the environment.
Okay, and that was actually what I was going to ask you with that selection process. Obviously, sustainability has to be a core consideration, because on every other level of your business, it's the key consideration.
Yeah, when you're doing a project like this, it really lends itself to this, because you're immediately reaching out to the community with all the Irish designers, you know, platforming them in your store is really opening up our doors and sharing our store with the Irish talent. And it's a wonderful opportunity for these creatives to be able to showcase with us on a platform that's really relevant to what they're doing. And I think the opportunity that we share our business with them is a great opportunity for them. It's a very exciting project too, because it's all about newness. It's all about innovation. It's all about sharing. It's all about diversity. There's a selection of ready-to-wear, shoes, accessories, jewellery, milliners, and homewares. This year particularly, there's lots of topics that are new that come under innovation. For example, Kevin Owens with his restoration project, I think is really exciting. Barbara Bennett, who is customizing trainers, I think is really, really smart, new concepts. And I think it's part of the DNA of what we're talking about at the moment. And having sustainability at the core of everything we do, I think these sort of projects are very, very relevant to what we're doing in as a business in a fashion department store.
Hasn't there been an incredible surge of creativity, though, during over the last 18 months? I think people who were sitting on an idea or, you know, had a kind of a spark for something made it happen. It's really exciting to see. And then for Brand Thomas to, you know, support and foster that is amazing.
Yeah, and I think as well, Louise, we have 33 designers, but 21 of these designers are new this season, which I think is fantastic. Yeah, and a lot of these designers have developed their businesses through lockdown. So I think that was really, really relevant as well for me because it was new, it was innovative, it was exciting. It showed, you know, sort of lots of new energy. And I think it was really important to set the project in this new direction. And I think we've done a great job of developing and giving new opportunities to our customers as well in terms of restoration, customization. And again, a lot of the homewares are very innovative as well in terms of ceramics and the candles. I just think there's lots of newness and we really kept an open mind with what we were doing. I think the selection was particularly diverse and I'm really happy with the whole project this year in terms of the diversity of it.
Now, this is like asking you your favorite child or something, but year after year, creative fostered creativity in Ireland, and that has seen so many designers have a springboard for progression. And you've worked so closely with all those designers. It's been your passion project for 11 years. Are there any tales of success that you're particularly proud of?
Yes, I mean, there are many, Louise. They're not just one, because I think the designers, some of these designers, a lot of them this year particularly are new, as I said, 21 of them. But the original designers who would have come with us through the years would be Faye Dinsmore, would be Sarah O'Neill, was also amazing. And she does very, very, she's very creative. And I love her animation and her energy. Anna Geerin, the landscape, you know, she's fantastic. She does particularly well. Jill have been with us a few times. And Sorko Ratlick, to me, is quite extraordinary and stands out very, very prominently, I guess, because even though she's been with us before, and some of the designers, I think it's lovely for the designers that have been with us for 3, 4, 5, or 6 years have now developed on, and they'll always help and educate the new up and coming. And I think somebody like Sorko Ratlick is very creative and very artistic with her, you know, her development of her collection. It's very, very clear that she's very innovative and she's very bespoke, and I think what she does is very creative, and I think it's lots of there's lots to be said about the new up and coming designers looking to develop to be like a Sorka down the road. So I think she stands out for me as somebody who's particularly creative. And again, in terms of speaking with these designers, the production behind what they do and all the detail is really important, because the development of their collection, production has always been a problem, getting everything done in time, getting the production has to be impeccable if you're sitting alongside all of these luxury international brands in a department store. Everything has to be of a standard, obviously. So I think looking to the guys that are new up and coming and really trying to achieve the standard is a job in itself. And I think they've really ponied up this year to produce amazing collections with amazing finish and fantastic fabrics. It's wonderful to see the commitments from these designers. And what my aim is, obviously, is to see that we can continue and find and nurture designers for the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's incredible as a customer to come through and see all this newness and diversity. So very excited to visit Create. And thank you so much for telling us a little bit more about it, Shelley.
Create welcomes To Die For by Joanna, a new brand founded in lockdown in May 2020 by Joanna Dooley. Joanna's first collection offers joyful, brightly coloured tie-dyed loungewear and accessories, just what lockdown called for. And her business has gained a cult following, fast becoming an influencer favourite since she launched.
Joanna, thank you so much for joining me, and big congratulations to you on the success of the past year. So how has it all been for you?
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a whirlwind, but something I will always be grateful for. The last year has been a tough one for everyone, but I guess I can say it's been one of the best for me. And dying in my kitchen to being part of Create and Brand Thomas this summer, it's been a dream come true.
Oh, and it's wonderful to have you as part of CREATE as well. And you know, the theme this year is all push for progress. So how, as a brand and a business, are you doing this?
So we are trying to incorporate more sustainable materials into our collections. Mm-hmm. And we are always produce in limited quantities to eliminate overproduction and avoid waste.
Right. And well, sustainability is something that's obviously important to you because it's at the core of your business in fashion. You encourage rental with your other business borrowers, boutiques. So, you know, it obviously means a lot to you to be sustainable.
So initially we did product drops. So we would launch a limited amount of product for each drop. So we wouldn't be overproducing and we are trying to eliminate waste. We are also really trying to introduce more certified organic and recycled fabrics into our collections. And now we can do that because we are manufacturing, which is great. We also use reusable packaging, such as our tote bags and our shopper bags, which can be used for the grocery run or to store your rapakini or cosmetics too.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about To Die For then. So tell me how it came to life. And if somebody isn't familiar with it, if they obviously have the Instagram app on their phone, because it's all over Instagram, can you tell me what it looks like, but also how it came to life? What sparked in your mind to create this brand?
Yeah, so I began the journey in last May, so the first lockdown. And I suppose I was running Borrow Boutique, my fashion rental service business, for the last 7 years, but I never really had the chance to sit down and take the time because I always knew I wanted to have my own brand. So the pandemic, I suppose, really allowed me to slow down and gave me the time to think. It was like allowed me to be really creative and kind of plan for the launch of To Die For by Johanna. Tie-dye was such a big trend during lockdown, and I was like, I need to get on this and start making some jumpers for myself. But to be honest, I never really thought that it would be a business that I would still be running a year later.
Yeah.
It was more for fun and to keep me busy because the rental world definitely slowed down because no one was going out anymore. So really everything was hand-dyed and made to order for my family home in Wicklow. I roped all my family members in to help me. I made an Instagram page and started sharing my designs, and people wanted to purchase things. So I was like, oh, maybe I can make a business out of this. Yeah. Like, I'm very much, if I have something I want to do, I'll like do it straight away rather than think about it too much. So my first collection sold out within an hour, and then I continued to hand dye for the next couple of drops, but I really had to adapt and grow with the demand as we just couldn't keep up with the orders, which is a great thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
My business has really grown and evolved as the pandemic has evolved, and it's really focused on surviving a pandemic. So once the pandemic is over, it's going to be exciting to see how it goes back into the normal world. So it's perfect timing to go into Brown Thomas, our first big retailer, and see how our customers are going to react to the excitement of all of that.
I'm curious about that because so many brands have incorporated loungewear, and I think tie-dye then is special and it's uplifting, and you can't but feel happy when you're wearing something tie-dye. But yeah, Obviously our life is coming back to life now, and you know, we're kind of back in the world and we're heading out again. So how do you see the brand evolving?
So I've been working on, we just launched our organic cotton t-shirts, which have been a huge success, and I'm also working on our knitwear range as well for the last couple of months, which will hopefully launch in the summertime.
Yeah, I think that we'll always incorporate some loungewear into our wardrobes a lot more than we ever did before. I think that it'll be very hard to leave that go.
Absolutely, especially as working from home is becoming the new norm. And I feel like companies are way more like they'll be accepting people from working from home a lot more now than before. So people will definitely be in their loungewear while working, and then even popping on their heels to go out still in their loungewear.
And so tell me, you're hardly still at home in Wicklow with your family all together tie-dyeing. What's the business like now? How is the running of the business?
Yeah, so we had to adapt with demand because we just couldn't keep up hand tying everything. So now we have outsourced and our manufacturing, which is great.
Okay.
So we can keep up the demand, and I can also focus on growing the business rather than be stuck in my kitchen hand dyeing everything.
And so, you know, with To Die For and with your other business, Borrow's Boutique, obviously you're highly entrepreneurial, and you know, I'm kind of smiling to myself, but also kicking myself, because you say, when I have an idea, I act on it. I'd be the very opposite of that. So for you, tell me, what do the next couple of years hold for you and for To Die For? by Joanna?
Yeah, so I've actually just stepped down from my role at Barrow Boutique and I'm currently working on a new fashion rental subscription service, which I also hope to launch in the next couple of months. Great. So it's busy. But I really have learned so much over the last 7 years of running Barrow Boutique. And I've gotten to know my customers, what they like, what they dislike. And I feel that they are just ready for the next step, which is integrating rental into their everyday wardrobes. So I have so many ideas that I want to explore in both To Die For and my new venture. For example, archive stores, rental and resale. Yeah. So who knows, To Die For by Johanna may just become a brand on my rental platform too.
And what does it mean to you to be part of Brown Palmer's Create?
It's such a nice opportunity and it's going to be so nice to have the team to be able to guide me as a young brand and young designer into going into our first department store and learning all the ropes behind that, because there's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes that I never would have imagined. So it's so great to get the experience and also the brand exposure, especially as my first year in business.
And it's so great to have you on the shop floor in Brown Palmer's. Thank you so much, Johanna.
Thank you so much, Louise. Lovely to chat to you.
This year, Create will boast work from the critically acclaimed Irish artist Orla Debris for the first time ever. As a sculptor, Orla uses a variety of materials, including bronze, steel, stone, and fiberglass. She has showcased her work in 6 major solo shows, completed over 25 large-scale public sculpture commissions internationally, and her figures are housed in many significant private collections. So it is with great enthusiasm that Brown Palmer's showcase her work in Create 2021 Push for Progress. Well, Orla, thank you so much for taking some time to chat to me. And we're so delighted to have an artist and sculptor as part of Create 2021. So it's Push for Progress. So tell me, how are you pushing for progress in your brand and your work?
I suppose as an artist, you're allowed to react to issues that concern you. And so my work very much reacts to things that concern me. And one of the things would be preserving the planet and our connectivity with nature. So I think the pieces I have create very much show that.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about the pieces that are going to showcase in Create this year.
I have 2 pieces called Bound. One's called Bound and one's called Ruthless. And Bound is a 7-foot female figure, and she's suspended by a skirt of branches. So they're both bronze. The figure is highly stylized and she tapers into a point, and the branches are tied tightly around her waist with rope. So the whole idea really is to emphasize our total dependency on the natural world.
Okay. And is that where the word bound comes, that we're bound to that natural world for our survival, or am I?
Yeah, it's a whole body of work that I did over the last 2 years. I've been exploring the idea of the word bound and how we are bound to and what we are bound by as we navigate our lives. For instance, we're bound by time, by rules, by gender, and to be part of nature. So it's exploring a whole theme around that.
What about Ruthless then?
Ruthless is a 6-foot figure, or sorry, 6-foot piece. It's a bare tree and it's suspended from the ceiling. And then it ends in an inverted figure rather than roots. And Ruthless, it's a piece, I suppose, that reveres women. It's, I mean, we've given birth to the human race from the beginning of time. So I think we need a little bit of credit.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think women are very much in tune with the natural world. And so these 2 pieces kind of bring that together, how we're bound to the natural world.
How do you start, Orla, when you are, you know, you have a vision for something you want to create? You know, I've seen images of you standing with some of your 7-foot figures.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, like they're towering over you. Where do you begin? How do you do this?
There's different kind of methods. I usually, if I'm making a large, like the pieces I made for Belvelly Castle is a 5-meter tree and a 3-meter figure. And so I would, the figure I carved in polystyrene, and then the process for bronze, you cover in wax, and then you do all the fine finishing in wax. But I would make that kind of lying down. And so sometimes with the pieces, I don't actually see them standing up until they're being craned into position. So the tree I made in 2 parts, and I only ever saw it put together at 5 meters when it was craned in on top of the castle.
And tell me, so Bound and Ruthless and the two figures that will appear and create, how long did Bound take you?
Bound, I suppose it'd take you a few months to make. The initial Bound that I made was 9 foot, and I did a solo show with the Solomon Gallery, and it was the centrepiece in that show. But I've made one that's scaled down for Brand Thomas Window, so it'll be 7 foot. So I'm still making it, is the honest answer. Still in the process, but I suppose it takes a few months, you know. But you kind of build the branches. You see the construction of the piece, it's cast, the center part is cast, but the actual construction around it, which very much looks like a skirt nearly of branches, it's built there and then, you know, with the branches. So I'm kind of welding a branch on and standing back and looking at it and putting another one on and maybe taking one off. And so it's a different kind of process, this particular piece.
And what was your introduction to this? You know, how did you begin to learn that you could create, you know, such majestic pieces from, you know, either fiberglass or bronze or whatever materials you most prefer working with? You know, what brought you to that place?
I suppose, like, I've always been drawing or writing poetry or creative, yeah. You know, I'm very much encouraged at home. My father used to have us doing still life classes when we were about 10, you know. And he brought us to galleries. Every time we went abroad, we were brought to galleries. I do remember saying to him, you know, when I was about 14, that I want to be a sculptor, because I used to carve on clay. And the first thing I ever carved was a hand out of a bar of soap. And so I kind of knew I could, you know, if I had an idea in my head, I knew I could make it, physically make it. So I did ask him, you know, I say, I want to be a sculptor when I was 14. And although he encouraged us hugely with art, he went, sure. Do dress designing or interior design. So I actually ended up I did dress designing in the Grafton Academy. And then I did sculpture. I ended up learning how to weld and bronze casting and...
You came back to what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
A bar of soap to a 3 meter high installation. It's some journey. Yeah. And can I ask you then about your process when you are commissioned to make something from with a private client?
Yeah.
I always wonder about the communication required on, you know, with that interaction. You know, there must be a lot of trust involved.
There is, all right. Usually people who come to me would be familiar with my work, so I suppose they know I can do it. But then there's always, I suppose they're always a bit nervous, or, you know, because big pieces are a lot of money and they might be worried about it. Are they going to like it at the end? So I think during the process, I would very much show them work in progress. I know what it's going to be like, and so I have to give them that confidence, you know. So when I did the piece for... Belvelli, basically they showed me this incredible castle, and we were on the roof of it, and there was no brief. It was whatever you want to do, you know, come back with an idea. And I just felt that it had to be something, you know, visually strong and conceptually strong, but not take away from, you know, this magnificent building it was going on top of. So there was a lot of communication back and forth, where I was talking to them about how it was being made and sending photographs of work in progress in the studio. And by the time I brought the piece on site, they were very, you know, confident and happy with it, you know. And then the installation day was very nervous for me, but it all worked out really well.
But it must be very satisfying for both parties. Obviously, certainly the person who gets to keep work from you. So tell me, you mentioned obviously Bound, you know, there's a very important meaning in that in terms of how we look after our planet. In terms of sustainability, then, in your own practice, how do you ensure you're as sustainable as possible?
Well, I suppose I've been conscious of that both in my own life and in my work. In my own life, I've become vegetarian. And quite enjoying that, actually. I've been new and interested in cooking since I did it. Was never that interested in cooking before. And but with the work, I usually some artists carve or make an armature of steel. But I work with polystyrene and carve from that. So I found a company that will take the polystyrene and recycle it. So that's recycling something else. So that's a good thing. And then the wax is recyclable. So all the time we make a wax, it goes into a kiln, it pours out, and you reuse it again. And then the bronze conceivably will last forever.
Okay. Great. No, I'm Sure it will. And how do you feel about seeing your work in Brent Thomas for the first time?
Oh, well, I think Brent Thomas is a window is an iconic space in Dublin. So I'm really excited to see the work there. And also it's kind of, it's a very different place for me, because normally it'd be a gallery or a site specific work. So I'm really interested to see how it looks and how people perceive it.
Well, we're very excited to see you on the window and in Brent Thomas. And thank you so much, Orla, for chatting with me today.
Well, thank you. Pleasure.
Katie Ann McGuigan makes a much anticipated return to Create this year, presenting her latest collection, Lost Summer. Katie Ann was born and grew up in Ireland, and her brand offers high-end ready-to-wear, working on the frontier of print design with 100% silk dresses, cozy knits, and relaxed tailoring. And this year, she incorporates her family background in interiors through printed cushions, all available in Brent Thomas Create. Now, Katie, not your first time showing in Create. So what is it like working with Brent Thomas to put this presentation together?
Yeah, it's been amazing. Brent Thomas have just been so supportive to emerging designers and art designers like myself, like especially last year with the year we had 2020. Create was, you know, kind of, it was meant to go ahead and then the pandemic happened. But for Brent Thomas to continue Create going into October of 2020 and having the structure and having that safety net for designers like myself to have something to keep working towards, and the support that they gave me was just priceless. It was amazing.
And of course, this year, the theme for Create is all about pushing for progress. So mm-hmm. as a brand, how have you been doing this?
Yeah, so... just continuing on how we normally do. So making our collection even better. What can we do in the studio? Sustainability, you know, we make everything ourselves. We don't overmake. We make what we need. So we're not kind of like adding many materials into the production process. Like we cut everything, we make everything in London. Everything's hand-knitted, so you know the process of our collection is very important.
And if somebody hasn't seen your collection, the collection that you're showing mm-hmm. Brent Thomas Create is Lost Summer, which we mm-hmm. can all empathize with, certainly after the year we've had.
Yeah,
but can you describe what that looks like to our listener of the podcast?
Yeah, so our Lost Summer collection is very print heavy. Mm-hmm. We have beautiful silk dresses. We have beautiful satin dresses, and we have hand-knitted jumpers. So intarsia jumpers with different colors of yarn going on, lots of pop of color, very floaty and very luxury to wear.
And can I talk to you a little bit about the print process? Because I mm-hmm. think, you know, anybody who can just consume fashion and enjoy fashion likes a print, can appreciate a print, but really doesn't probably the majority, or certainly myself, doesn't really understand the intricacies of creating a print. And it really brings another level and depth to your design. So with mm-hmm. Lost Summer, how did you first of all decide on the prints, and then how did you create the prints?
Yeah, so the prints come out of our research, and it could be the smallest detail within an image that we found. Like, I remember there being prints on beach tiles or prints on ladies' dresses or wallpaper or fabrics. It could be the smallest detail in the background that I will just run a mile with. Or it could be greenery, flowers, anything like that. Just little details, and then I'll start to like merge them all together. It's for me, the print aspect is, print and fabric is definitely 50% of me designing, which I absolutely love.
So it strikes me then that if everything is a potential print or a potential story mm-hmm. for your collections, you really must have to go around with your eyes completely open to any source of inspiration. And your references have been very diverse. You have in mm-hmm. previous collections had reference to 70s footballers or Japanese biker women. So, I mean, what's your approach to the world really as a designer?
Yeah, well, I look at everything and anything. Like, whenever we start a new collection, I always have two or three different researches or references going on, and then I'll pick one that I'm most drawn to, and one that I keep going back and looking, and I think, okay, this is definitely going to be the research for this collection. This is where my head's at this season. This is where I'm going to get the most out of it. So like this collection was based on a Belgian photographer that went around Ireland and the west of Ireland in the early 1980s. So I look at times or places that I'll never get to experience. Like I'll never be able to go back in time and look at Ireland in that moment in time, in that landscape, in those colors. So when I pick the research, I try to just put my stamp on it, and this is how I see it. So yeah, it's very personal, but hopefully I have tried to show how I felt about that moment in time.
Yeah. And your pathway into this career, I know that you worked with Alexander McQueen, Marc Jacobs, mm-hmm. but it goes further back than that. And you have a family that has a history in design, but furniture design. So how have you drawn parallels between furniture design and fashion design?
Yeah, well, first of all, I was really lucky that my family were creators and makers. And I think it's, you know, it all stems from my dad. The two of us are quite dyslexic, so we just had to like make with our hands. So, you know, I would constantly be kind of ditching school to go into the factory to learn how to sew. Like I learned how to sew, you know, overlock and cushions, and I learned how to cut in the cutting room, you know, with upholstery fabric. So, you know, furniture and fashion are, you know, in my mind, two types of jigsaws. And, you know, a sofa has all these little pieces that you have to put together to make a sofa, and a dress is all these little pattern pieces and fabric pieces that you sew to construct a dress. So for me, they're very similar. And, you know, I'm just lucky enough that I was kind of brought up with that mentality of trying to figure out how to put things together to construct something.
Okay. And what has it last year been like? I would imagine that the creative process for a designer is quite bubble-like anyway. And then we had this lockdown. So what has the last year been like for you?
Last year obviously was difficult for a lot of people. But yeah, I was lucky enough to be back in Ireland in early March with my dog, and just kind of decided not to go back to London. So, you know, as a brand, we kind of retreated and put projects on hold.
So there is actually a mix of the fashion design and interiors in your collection that will feature in Create.
Yeah, definitely. This year we have decided to put prints that are on garments onto our homeware elements, which are cushions. So we have cotton cushions, velvet cushions, and satin cushions, which all have a beautiful print or some piping or some ruffles on the edges. So it will really fit nicely in anyone's home that wants to have a pop of colour.
Katie, as a growing brand, what does it mean to you and your business to showcase in Brand Thomas Create?
Oh, it's amazing. It gives the brand such a platform. You know, for Irish people, our Irish customers are just great. So they love going in. They love knowing that, you know, every year BT is going to have these Irish designers. They go in and they support us. Just the platform that Brian Thomas has given every year since I've done it is, you know, it really is priceless to the brand.
And Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share, and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.